Nation. Call me Kol HaTorah Kula. Shalom Yomer Alai. Shalom Shikadai Levakesh Alehem Rachamim. Okay, in other words, it means if you will not forgive Bnei Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel, I, Moshe, do not want to be mentioned in the Torah at all. Okay? Problem with that pshat is, as the Rabban said, then what's the answer? Vayom Hashem and Moshe, Mi Asher Chatali Emchenu Misifri. What does that mean? So in other words, it doesn't seem to, there's nobody else involved here. Vimkei Matshuva Yeshiva Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Asher Chatali Emchenu Misifri, Vein Acher Limchos Misifro. So, the answer doesn't seem to fit the question. Ibn Ezra has an idea, which is getting closer to, as we'll see, Misifracha means the constellations of the heaven. Vasvarim ledaito, meaning Ibn Ezra haim, ma'arachos hashamayim. Ibn Ezra was a strong and firm believer in astrology. And according to astrology, native astrology, judicial astrology, all the subdivisions, but the stars determine whether a person lives or whether a person dies. Shegzeros hashvalim, us low beings, i.e. people who live in this world of generation and corruption, tsluyim bahem. V'amad, and God's answer to Moshe, mi asher chatalim chenu misifri, Lomar, Lom Chelscha, I'm not going to destroy you. Rak Emchen Mina Ama Chataim, Asher Chatuli Machshav Tom, Lo Neheragu. Huma Shamar, Vegov Hashem, Esa'am. Okay, the Ramban doesn't like that shot either. The Rashbam says, no, and it seems clear that this is the Ram's shot also, and this is the conclusion of the Ramban. So here, Rashbam, Rambam, all three people from different areas come up with the same shot. Sifri means like Sefer HaChayim. It's the book, meaning the book of life. We all know, Rosh Hashanah Yichaseivun, Yom Tzom Kippur Yichaseimun. My book is a metaphor for the book of life. By the way, the Chizkuni has a very sharp rejoin against Rashi that says, Misifacha means the Torah. By the way, parenthetic remark, Rashi's pshat here leads to the point that in everything a tzaddik says, every klal ilan tznai is miskayim, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in Parshas Tetzaveh, because he said b'cheinina misifacha, and it was fulfilled to that extent. But that only works if you assume b'cheinina misifacha means I don't want to be listed in the Sefer Torah. Chizkuni says you can't give that shot. Ein lamar mi sefer haTorah, sharei adayin lo nichtav. Right? Again, and it's not talking for the future. Elamai mi sifracha, mi sefer haChayim. It's a metaphorical expression saying, please forgive the Jews, the Bnei Yisrael. But if you won't forgive them, and someone has to die, let me, Moshe Rabbeinu, die vicariously and atone for their sins. That's how Rashbam also says, "Mecheinina misifracha sefer haChayim, asher kosavta kidechsiv kol kosav lachayim biYerushalayim." If you will not forgive them, then let me die in their stead. Hargeinina harog. So what's the answer? And the Ramban also says this. Ramban says, Ulofi daiti ki Moshe Omar v'atom tisam chatasam rachamecha v'imayin. If not, mecheni na. Now we use the phrase in Yom Kippur. We plead with God to live. We say chasmenu bi sefer hachayim. So here he says, I should die. Vim ayim chena techosei me sefer hachayim. I want to be sealed out of life. Ve'espol ani onsham. Okay, so you have the Rashbam and the Chizkuni and the Ramban all say what's going on here is Moshe saying, let me die for their sin. So what does God respond? That's not a Jewish idea. That's not how I run the world. This, of course, once you see this, you realize how it's, again, another ikar which exposes, you know, Christianity is utterly false. There's no idea that one person dies for the sins of someone else. God tells Moshe, no. Now let's go back to the Rambam. Okay, so I think it's clear the Rambam is using this third shot. That's what is going on. What is the proof that there is schar va'onesh? This pasuk says no. The only the people that sinned will be punished, and conversely, people that perform commandments will be rewarded. Va'pasuk hamora al yasoda ze amro im tisach atasam v'mayin mecheni no misifracha. Let me die. V'shivu yasallah no. Mi asher chotali and chenam is sifri. Right? Shadul funav oved v'chotel ashalim mul tov lazeh lenosh es zeh. Okay. So in this vein, let's look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Hay. We saw some of this already. This again is the Rambam's discussion of Bechira Chavshis, where again, it fits together with the idea of schar va'onesh. Rambam writes as follows: Rishus l'chol adam nesuna. Every human being has free choice. Im rotzel lahatos atzmol derech tova v'liot tzadik, hashus biyado. V'im rotzel lahatos atzmol derech ra'a v'liot rasha, hashus biyado. Hu shekosev b'torah, hein adam haya ke'achad v'menu das tov v'ra. And the Rambam says, achad, meaning miyuchad, unique, and the ladas, he's going to explain in the sense of who has volition, like ratzon, kolomar, pain. Min ze shel adam hoye yachid ba'olam, vein min sheni domer lo bazanyon. It's not like the animals that have instinct. Sheyehu me'atzmo bedaito uvamachshavto. Excuse me. B'dayto machshavto yodeya hatov hara, v'ose kol mashu chafetz. He does what he pleases. Vein mi sheyakev biyado milasa latov hara. V'kevan shekein hu penishlach yado. Now, then the Rambam fights, and he has to fight both the prevailing non-Jewish opinion and what was apparently a prevailing Jewish opinion as well. That's golme, means they have matter without form, i.e. without the seichel. Shakadosh Baruch Hu gozer al adam mitchilas briyaso liot tzadik or rasha. No, not true. Ein hadavar kein. Ela kol adam roi lo lios tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu, o Rasha ki Yeravam, o Chacham, o Sochol, o Rachman, o Achzari, o Kilai, that's a stingy person, o Shua, the opposite, spendthrift, giving a lot of money away, v'chein shor kol adeos, dei mi, ein lo mi sheyich pehu, no one, no kfiya, no force, v'lo goes there a love, v'lo mi shemoshcha, I find this very stirring, le'echad mishnei hadrachim, elohu me'atzvo midaito note le'ezodel sheyirtzeh. Hu sheyirmiyo amar, this is from Eichel, we'll be reading this a few weeks, mipi elyon lotseitzeh haroz vatov. Kolomar, ein abore gozra la'odom lolios tov lolios ra. V'kema shekein hu, you know who causes the sinner to suffer? The sinner himself. Him says zeh hachote hu hifsid es atzmo. Ula fikach, since he destroyed his own life, roi lo livkos lukona chatov, v'almosh osa lenafsho, ugmola ra. Hu shakos of achra, mayis onen odom chai, gever el chatov. In other words, don't complain to God, don't complain about your bad luck, right? Complain, as it were, to yourself about your own evil behavior. Gever chatov v'chaz v'yomar. But, you know, again, free will is a responsibility, but it's also the salvation. So we have a way out. Ho'olu shuseinu biyodeinu v'daiteinu asino kol haroz roi lanu lachzor b'tshuva v'lazor v'sheinu sheoshus ata biyodeinu hu shekosav achrov in Eicha. It's a beautiful explanation of the set of psukim. Nachvosod racheinu v'nachkora v'nashuva ad Hashem. By the way, in the earlier part of this halacha, the Rambam made an extravagant remark. Everyone could be like Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik once pointed out, prima facie, this bumps up against Ikar Hashvi. He said no one will ever be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. So when he's stressing free will, okay, so look, either you just say simply a rhetorical statement. Ron Soloveitchik suggested that you could say that, and I think this will fit philosophically, you hear in a minute, L'maisa, no one will be like Moshe, because everyone wastes 1 minute, you know, like someone, I heard someone say, everybody spends at least one Sunday afternoon in their life doing nothing but just watching golf on TV on the couch. So that's it. You lost 3-4 hours, and Moshe Rabbeinu was getting closer to God. So in other words, theoretically you could have, but no one will. So this actually fits nicely when we discussed, you know, the principle of plenitude. What Charles Vanekin wrote, a poor article on the principle of plenitude in the Rambam's thought and the Rabbak's thought, and how, right, how you know, anything that can happen will happen. So therefore, if you have within the set of human beings, there will be a greatest human being ever, given the variety of human beings and the different types of humanity. So Moshe is it. But everyone, in other words, can try their best, but Lamaisa, everyone will fail, because there will be one winner, to use a not so elegant term, and that's Moshe. Now the third shot, that this I think a more standard shot, which divides the aspects of Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness. As it says, Tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu. So for example, the Rambam stresses that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi ever. So you might want to say, so maybe in Achnami, let's say in, you know, other Chachmos, someone can be as great as Moshe. You know, you can now, I think Rabbi Katz, Rabbi Michael Katz, Olo Shalom, he was one of my colleagues at YU, he once was talking about this topic with me, and he said that might be a way to work out Shlomo. Remember we discussed how the Rambam actually minimizes Shlomo, says Mashiach will be more than Shlomo, but the pasuk says that Shlomo was the smartest person ever. Pashup shot, right? Lefon of an Achrov. If you make the Rabbak's move, you're just making 3 generations male. If you don't do that, so you have to say there's some aspect of intelligence that Shlomo was even more than, maybe even more than Moshe. If you stress not metaphysical knowledge and Nevuah. So Nevuah, Moshe was the greatest Navi. Here, we're not discussing metaphysical knowledge. We are discussing, you know, tzaddik, you might want to say, means moral, you know, moral traits, etc. That will be the third possible move. You subdivide greatness into different segments, and maybe, and therefore, in one segment, someone could be as great as Moshe. But still, if you put everything together, it still remains an ikar that no one will ever match Moshe. Yes?
Can I just ask you the principle of plenitude?
Yeah.
So what's the principle of plenitude?
So yeah, anything that can happen will happen once, at least once.
So why can it not happen that there'll be two people?
No, but okay,
anything fits into that equation.
Well, by the way, the thing I mentioned, Menachem Kellen has that article, why, according to the Ralbag, they were not, since Ralbag minimizes the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and other Nevi'im, so he says, theoretically, there could be, according to the Ralbag, another Moshe. The Ralban, if you go through at least six parshiyos in the Torah, which have to be studied in order to see any thinker / Mefarish his view on Moshe Rabbeinu. For example, you have Baloscha, then you have Zos HaBracha, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Then you have these psukim here in Kisisa. You have to work through everything. But the point is, if you assume every human being is an individual, no two human beings have the exact same set of experiences. This is what Schopenhauer called the principium individuationis. Hope I'm pronouncing it right. Right? Every person is different. So everyone is different. So no ties. That's what it comes out.
They're not logically different.
Right, but
experientially different.
Right, okay.
We assume that.
But if knowledge, the Rambam's epistemology, knowledge, we start with ourselves and our senses, we view the world, we apprehend, and then we get, you know, we get into more and more with our mind, we make universals, so you go further and further, but so somebody that, you know, went to Brandeis now, unfortunately couldn't hear the lectures of Professor Marvin Fox, so he'll have to get his knowledge a different way. You just have to work it out, right? No, there's no two people ever have the, before we discuss Moshe Rabbeinu, first the idea is that it's just about impossible for any two people to absorb, put all the exact same quantity and method of knowledge.
But the principle of plenitude is about logic, not about experience.
No, but it's also the way, for example, in Mannequin's article, he discusses this about, for example, let's say Paro's, you know, that there's going to be somebody that enslaves Bnei Yisrael, you know. Well, I believe it's discussed there even with respect to Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, it is a logical, those two categories aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. Given that they're a set of people, if you accept that, and now if you accept,
they could wear the same shirt, they could look at the same window,
they could be twins, but one twin is going to look this way for a minute, and one twin is going to look one second,
we had this from experience, that's not from logic. Says they could be, we know it's probably not going to be that way. We know it doesn't make sense that it will be that way.
Well, okay, right.
Experientially, but not logically.
What can I say? I hear your point. I would still say logically, given the fact that a person's acquisition of knowledge is based upon, it starts from his use of the five senses and his perception of the world. So if one person has a perception of the world, simply he's in a different room, and there are more people in that room than somebody else, and there might be a teacher that can teach him the ABCs more.
In the long run, that doesn't always have an effect on how some people have a better education, they come out with less. Some people got and some people have less than education, they come out with more. So just because a person hasn't had the same experience,
yes,
doesn't mean they can't rise to the level of, you know, doesn't mean they can't rise to the level of somebody else who's had a different set of experiences.
Okay, good.
But they're different.
They're different. No two people have the exact same. So good. So you know what, Dave? I'll start with you, and then I'll use your formulation, and then I'll arrive at what I'm saying. You start from different experiences. No two people ever had the same experience. When I was in high school, and remember, I wanted to, I was dreaming about going to the Rav Shir. And then, somebody basically said, listen, it's all over, because the Rebbe Rebbe is, you know, getting on in years. You will never, ever, ever get what I got from the Rav. Right? You know? And unbelievable. I mean, what kind of bizarre, twisted point was that person trying to make? I don't know. But in any way, but so the answer is, people in the Rav Shir in the 40s weren't like people in the Rav Shir in the 50s. People in the Rav Shir in the 50s weren't like the Rav Shir in the 60s. People in the Rav Shir in the 60s weren't like people, you know, in the Rav Shir in the 70s. And certainly the, and I was in the penultimate years, not the actual mamish last years, you know, beginning of the 80s, etc. So so when you put it together, every person is has different experience. Moreover, there's an idea that whenever a person, this has to do like the theory of knowledge, you know, how that's done, like also like in how done, like in literature, you know, you take a text and you interpret the text, so the interpreter passes his interpretation of the text, which is the sum total of everything he had, to his students, right? So some, you know, so if I knew people who were in the Rav Shir, let's say in the early 70s, and they passed it on to me that way, it's still going to be different than people who were let's say in the Rav Shir in the 70s and heard things over from people who had been in the Rav Shir in the 60s. B'chulu b'chulu. No two people have the same teachers exactly in the same, right, point in their lives. That's the Gemara. Look, we have the Gemara in the beginning, Hazav. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, you know, when it's Hazav, Kones HaKesev, HaKesev, Kones Hazav. You have one way when you're young. Rabbi Yehuda said one way, and then when he's older, changed his mind, and his son liked it the first way, you know, but Rabbi Yehuda himself preferred the second way. You know, you have these all the time. So now, it's not just experience, you know, whether you see the Yankees when they're on top or Yankees are in the bottom. The question is, we want to understand Dvar Hashem, and the way to get to Dvar Hashem is going to be different for every human being. That's remarkable. It's just impossible, because we're stuck in our bodies, in the time we are in the place we are in, right? So just no two people are going to have the exact same body of knowledge.
But if that's the case, one doesn't need the principle of plenitude.
I understand. I'm saying there will, you know, it might go back to what we call the principium individuationist,
which is not the plenitude.
The point is that there's like the fullness of existence. Everything which theoretically can happen will happen once. So the point is, given that everyone is different, there will be a greatest human being who will, if it is possible, theoretically, for a human being to apprehend what Moshe Rabbeinu, so you know, we could say like this, there are two dinim. One thing is, we use the principle of plenitude saying it is possible for a Moshe Rabbeinu to exist. Okay, so in other words, the principle of plenitude says that there will be a Moshe Rabbeinu, as opposed to there will be no Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore no Torah, etc., etc. The principium individuationist says there will only be one Moshe Rabbeinu and not two. Let's put it that way. Okay, so that's, I think, a way of working it out. So let's now bring it back here. So when he says, "El kol adam roedol liot tzadik k'moshe Rabbeinu, o rasha ki ravam," so you have to just fine tune whichever way you want to go. His mention of tzadik k'moshe, I actually liked what Ravon Soloveitchik said, that the lemaisa, it just, it will never happen. Okay, let's go on. Okay, so I think we did a nice way of fine tuning that point. Then the Ram continues regarding bechira chavshis. The davar ze ikar gadol hu vo amud ha Torah va mitzvah shenemar. I gave it to you. You have the choice. So again, this is like with double faith theory. The Rambam believes in Bechira Chavshis, and the Rambam says the Torah is saying that also. I certainly don't accept what Shlomo Pines and some other people said, the Rambam in his heart of hearts was a, you know, determinist. Again, he says it over and over and over. I have no reason to doubt that he means what he says. Uksiv, Re'a nochino senut b'chem hayom bracho klola. Klomar, she'oshus b'yedchem, b'kol she'yachbo to Adam lasos b'maisa b'nei Adam ose. Bein tovim bein royim. B'nei ze'inya nemar, mi yitem v'yolvam ze'lohem. Klomar, she'enam bori kofa b'nei Adam. God does not force human beings to do anything. Lo gozer aleihem lasos tovo el ra, el ha'kol mosu lohem. By the way, and the Rambam in a tshuva writes, that means we don't really accept the notion of bashert. Right? We marry who you want to marry. Rabbi Chana Wasserman already quotes this Rambam. He says that the idea, we do not follow the idea that our boim yom kodim yitziras havlad, God decrees that, you know, bas ploni le ploni. Okay. Elo, now then the Rambam continues, because they know he's fighting a very strong current. Elo ha'el ha'yagozer ala adam li'al tzadik ha'rasha, o elo ha'yasham davar shemoshech ez adam bikar toldato, derech min ha'drachim, o lamada min ha'mados, o ladeh min ha'deos, o lamasa min ha'masim, k'mo shebodim milibam ha'tipshim hovei shamayim. Hovei shamayim are astrologers. This is the we mentioned this already. This is the moral argument for free choice. You're forced. Guys, I'm just forced to be an axe murderer. That's my nature. Why should I be punished? But you aren't punished. And God would not be so cruel to impose a punishment for a sin, right? Because only human beings can sin, because animals do what they do with instinct. We sin, and therefore we have punishment. Ram is doubling down here. There's no point to the Torah if there's no free choice. That's why when Shlomo Pine says Ram didn't really believe in free will, he is, and then, you know, from in a different way, but basically approaching the, you know, the Strauss idea that this the whole Torah is a fraud. So we don't believe that. You know, Rachman Letzlan Mihai Daita. The Rambam is philosophically sophisticated enough that we can accept how the Rambam put it together. Again, double faith theory, reason and revelation, philosophy and religion, and that's how he put it together. Beis din beis mishpat nifrat min harasha umasham sachal tzadik hashavei kol arz lo yase mishpat baltisma v'tomar ech yeh adam osa kol ma sheyachbos v'masa b'surim lo v'chi yase v'olam davash lo b'shus kono. Look at this argument against free choice. How can anyone ever do in the world anything which is against the will of God? And watch this. God wants us to be good people. Right? So if you say a person has free choice, and a person then chooses to do something bad, right? He will be going against the will of God. But God created this world. How could this world... This is an interesting question. Different philosophers, different contexts also raise this question. How could this world ever contain something that is against the will of God? I will add, certainly, you know, you take the idea that the will of God becomes stronger and stronger in the whole Maimonidean worldview, right? And he calls it Pasuk. Because of Omer, kol asher chafet Hashem osa, we say this every Shabbos morning, right? This is in the Halukah right before, right? Second. Yeah. Right? Hallelu Hashem Hashem, Lord the Hashem, Shamim, Hashem Chazal Place, Lokeno, Ektov, Hashem Zamul Shmokinoim, Kiakov, Cholos, the school of soul, Kiani, Yodat, Yigalos, Shavu, they may call Elohim, call Asher Chafetz Hashem Osa, Bashamayim Va'oretz, Layamim, Chol Tomos. This entire world, this entire universe, is the production of God through His will. This is a strong, right? And then the psukim can go on. Malan is seeing mixei arz brakin matara sam mosei ruach benatzrol sam. Then he segues David HaMelech into the ten makos. Shehika b'chori Mitzrayim me'odam ad behema shalach oso samovsim sochei Mitzrayim afar b'chol avodav shehika goyim rabin varach malachim atzumim v'sichon melech. God, this entire universe is a product of the will of God. And God willed to punish Paro. God willed to punish the Egyptians. God willed to bring B'nai Israel to Eretz Israel. So this is an interesting question. So if the whole world, the whole universe through time, if everything is a product of the will of God, so then how could we have free will to sin? Because God certainly would not want us to sin. So what's the answer? In other words, it's easy to understand how we have free will and we do mitzvahs on our free will. But the other way? So, da, shakol kechevtso yeyoseh, the afal pi she maaseinu mesurim lanu. So he said like this, the answer is, God willed that the nature of a human being should be different than the nature of any other creature. Ketzad, kishem shayotzer chafetz lios ha'esh v'ruach olim l'mala, fire rises, wind rises, v'mayim v'aretz yodim l'mata. This Aristotelian, they didn't know about inertia, so they thought the natural body is at rest on the ground. V'galgal sovek be'igol, right, v'chein shor kol brios ha'olam lios kamin hagam shechafetz bo kacha chafetz lios ha'adam reshuso biyado. Right, so Ram makes that move. God wanted the human being to be a being that has free choice. Now the Rambam is answering the problem, right, that this whole everything in the world does act as a result of the will of God. I just make that move. But God's will is that a human being should have free choice. V'chol masa mesurim lo. V'lo yielo lo kofer v'lo moshech. No one pushes him, no one pulls him. Elohumi atzma v'taito sh'nosin lo el. Oso kol sh'odam yochel lasos. And therefore, since he had free choice, l'fikach donin oso l'fi masav. Im asa tova metivin lo. V'im asa ra marin lo. Hu she'anavi Omer, miyetchem hoysa zos. Gam hema bachur b'dachechem. Binyan zel ma shlomo. And listen, you can enjoy yourself, but if you sin, you're going to get punished. Smach bachur b'yaldu secha, v'da. Ki akol ele v'yachor elokim ha-mishpat, kolomar, da sheish b'yodcha koach lasos, v'yosid ato liten es adin. Then the Rambam goes on. This entire perek is defending Bechira Chavshis. Now the Rambam goes into the issue of foreknowledge. Right? Here the issue was, the Rambam is very careful. He separated the problems into various subcomponents. First problem was, again, this entire world is a product of the will of God, and God certainly wills people to act morally. How could the human being who acts immorally be able to do so? And the answer is, it's a unique instantiation of what God is doing, because He wants the nation of human beings to have free choice. Now we get to the foreknowledge issue. Shema Tomar, V'lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Yodeh Koma She'yiyeh Kodem She'yiyeh. By the way, in the Ikra, the Rambam just says God knows Ma'aseh Menayotav. He doesn't fine tune it and say that even beforehand. Ram puts it here. Yodash zeh yiyeh tzadik orosh olo yodah. Im yodash hu yiyeh tzadik, how could a guy not be a tzadik? Eav shesh lo yiyeh tzadik. Fin Tom Shayada Shiya Tzadik Dev Shiya Rasha Hari Layada Davra Burial. Remember, this the Ram rejects the Rabbag's move. It's not that God knows with the Vados that a person will be a tzaddik. So da. This is the oldest question in the world, he says, and it's the deepest one, but just get your ikrim right. Vida. Shachuba Shelazu Aruka Meretz Mida Rachava Mina Yam Vikama Ikrim Gedolim Varorim Ravin Tsluyim Ba Awal Tzora Chata Leida Lahavim Medavazeh Shani Omer Kvar Be Arnu Beperk Sheni Mihilch Yusodi Torah, that God and His knowledge are one. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Eina Yodea Midah Shichutz Bimenu Kivnei Adam Shehem Vedaitam Shnayim Elohu Yisala Shmo Vedaitu Echad. God is at one with His knowledge. The Eindaito Shel Adam Yecholu LaHasik Davar Zel Burio. We can't understand that. We know it because we have proved the utter uniqueness of God, not just extra deical unity of God, but intra deical unity of God. So given that fact, it is by definition impossible for a human being to to understand God's knowledge. Shame shame koch adam lahasi limso amitas abore shenemar kiloy rani adam v'choy. Right? It's not that if you see God you will die. It is impossible for a human being to perceive God, which means to even know. Leros means even to see God. Kach. Ein koach ba'adam lahasig v'limso daitol shalborei. Hu shenavi omar. We say this in the Haftorah for the Tanis Sibur. Ki lo machshavos sai machshavos teichem v'lo darchechem durachai. That's the second principle. The kevon shekein hu ein banu koach leida hech yeida kadosh baruch hu kol abruim v'masim. We don't know how He knows it, but we know that He knows it, and we know that we have free will. In other words, the answer is that it is impossible for us to understand how He knows it, but we know free will, and we know that God's knowledge is all-encompassing. Aval neida below safek shemaseh ha'adam biyad ha'adam. Now he says again, and I'm not just saying this because I'm from below mipnei kabbalas hadas bilvad no davar zeh. I am not just saying it because my religious imperatives want me to. Elano b'rayos bruos min divrei ha-chochma. Right? Again, about the free choice. Mipnei zeh nemer b'nevuah Shedonin es ha'odom al masav kafi masav im tov v'im ra v'zeo ha'ikar shekol divrei hanavuim tsluyim bo. Beautiful. And I'll tell one story and then we'll go on. So the Rabbag, of course, disputes the Rambam, and the crux of his dispute, as portrayed in Milchamos Hashem, is that the Ralbag feels it is possible for a human being to apprehend more about God. In other words, remember, the Rambam says God only has what's called negative attributes. Right? We discussed that. So the 13 midos are midos of action. And for God, like you say, He is... What does rachel mean? It means He's not unkind. He's not unmerciful. The Ralbag has a different idea, that Lahavdil is also St. Thomas Aquinas, that there are positive attributes. God has an infinite number of positive attributes, but for God they are primary, but every other person they are secondary. In other words, any human rachel v'chanun is finite rachel v'chanun. God's rachel v'chanun is infinite. Okay, that's the Ralbag. So, but then, and this issue also, the Ralbag says, according to the Rambam, the Ralbag was unwilling to tolerate a system in which we know, which we are able to talk so little about God. Like Dr. Harman explained, it comes out that human language about God is virtually meaningless. Right? We just know what he's not. So the Ralbag had a greater confidence in man's ability to be able to a certain extent, express what God is all about. And this is l'shitasam, the machlokas about the idea of God. The Ralbag came, before the Ralbag came to his astonishing conclusion that God doesn't know individual future contingents. We won't discuss that here, but before that, Dr. Haim explained, there's a prior machlokas. Ralbag says it is possible for a human being to obtain, to speak about God with greater clarity than the Rambam thought. And that's what's going on here. Now the Rambam says, look, we don't know. God, we just know that God's knowledge is one with him, so we can't make statements about his knowledge. So we know this free will. We know God's free choice. We know that God's knowledge is all-encompassing, right? So therefore, we know God's infinite knowledge can coexist even with a human free will. So I was in Dr. Hyman's class, and we were reading the Ralbag. Now, the Ralbag, I think there's Professor Isaac Husik, right? He gets very angry. He like says it's a theological monstrosity, you know, the Ralbag's views. And there was one passage where he was really fighting about how according to the, you know, the Rambam language about God becomes, you know, so virtually meaningless. And there was one passage, and it was a difficult passage, so we all tried to take turns explaining it, and we were all having problems with it. And then we got to an animated discussion. Now, if you take 100 courses in Yeshiva College, it's hard to believe anybody would put among the top 90 of interest late medieval scholastic Jewish philosophy, you know, as exemplified by Rabbi Ben Gersh and the Ralbag. But there was one pageant, and it was about this topic, and it was just something about the Ralbag, how he was fighting the Rambam. I think he was saying that, well, therefore, according to the Rambam, you really even can't say that God knows anything. It's just that God is not unknowledgeable. And Ralbag just said that's so bizarre, right? In other words, again, Ralbag says God's knowledge is perfect. According to the Rambam, you would have to come to the conclusion all it is that God is not ignorant. And then you know, he goes on and says that, so you might as well even say God is ignorant, because his ignorance is not defined as human ignorance. Ralbag has a couple of like reductio ad absurdum arguments in the Rambam. And within that, it was like one passage, and we were all trying to figure it out. Like Hyman was also trying, and we just, it was a minor point. We got the gist of the Ralbag, and then we were all talking, and you know, we started getting louder and arguing. And there was a guy passing through, you know, first hall, third floor. He was looking in. Oh, cool guy. You know, not the type you would think would be taking a course in, you know, late medieval Jewish philosophy. Then after the class, I said, hey, what class is this? Man, this sounds really interesting. I want to get into it. And then we told him it's not, you know, like, you know, risque French literature. It was, you know, the Ralbag. Okay.
Brandeis, all the cool guys take
this class. Oh, okay. Oh, so that's the difference between YU and Brandeis. He was so, he said, wow, I never saw such a class. Everyone gets so animated, you know. Should tell him just to sign up first and get more registration, you know, for Revel, and then he could find out the truth. Okay. Okay, you know what? Let's already begin. We have little time, so we'll set up the Ikar about Mashiach, and then the next class of Mitzvah Shem is going to be Monday evening. Then we're going to go into depth in Hilchos Melachim, but we might as well even start now.
Can I ask you one thing?
Yes.
Just about reward and punishment, it's a minor question about reward and punishment. So punishment can be charis, in which case the person doesn't get any olam haba.
Right.
That is essentially just
a lack. Right. That's the Chanukah Sher wrote a whole series of articles on that point. In other words,
that's the materialist view of the human being. So the soul basically dies.
No, hang on. No, but if kares means there'll be no eternity of the intellect.
But that's the materialist perspective.
Why are you calling that a materialist perspective? On the contrary, in other words, you're saying that the greatest reward is that the soul will attain eternity. That's the reward. Kares is you just die. And it's the end.
But that's what the materialists believe. No.
The materialists believe that there is no such thing. The real materialists, the thoroughgoing materialists, believe that there is no such thing as eternity of the intellect. Everything stops here. Everything stops here. That's a very important distinction. The Rambam says that the virtuous person who's virtuous morally and then accomplished intellectually can, and that's what the Torah helps you do. The point of the Torah, the role of the mitzvahs of the Torah are to save your body and to save your soul. You know, like when the Christian's saying, you know, what are you doing to save your soul? That's the point here, to make sure that your soul is purified and is able to attain eternity. So that's not material.
The materialists will turn to the Rambam and will say, that's punishment, that's so terrible, that's the meaning of life. That's what life is all about.
That's a very difficult.
In other words, what for punishment is the Rambam is just the reality for this whole.
There's no answer to that. The Rambam would say somebody. The Ralbag actually gives probably the best illustration. He says that childish pleasures are not like the pleasures are when you are older. And again, the highest possible hana is intellectual / understanding. So therefore, if your soul attains that, that's the highest. The Ralbach himself says, when I understood something, he says, my hana was better than any hana sachila, any hana shtia, any hana of being with his wife. The understanding. It's not a childish, I got a good ribs, something like that, but rather that is the most profound pleasure. So, okay, now somebody disputes that, so then there's no possibility of dialogue. That is true.
So punishment essentially...
Punishment is the lack.
Punishment essentially ends up being a lack of pleasure.
Right.
Which is... I mean, that's...
But again,
In other words, people who sinned in this world don't really... In other words, they don't suffer in a future world because they don't exist in a future world.
Right. But lack of existence is the worst punishment. Lack of existence, is worse than existing. That's, by the way, elsewhere, makes that point. We're here with so much pain. Some of the, God forbid, assisted suicide people will dispute that. But lack of existence is the worst. So lack of eternity of the intellect is the worst. That's why Elo Shelo Chelik LiOlam Haba. So their souls don't become immortal. So that's it. That's the worst possible. That's the worst possible thing to happen. By the way, see, the Bali Musa say something else. Just to turn a little bit. So that's what the Rambam would answer. I hope that could satisfy. Bali Musa say as follows. There are three major orientations to what Gehenna is. So one is Hei Adair. That's the Rambam. Lack. privation. Right? That's what Gehenna is according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, there's no place called hell. Hell means the absence of the attainment of immortality of the soul equals eternity of the intellect. Others say Gehenna is tsar, pain, right? H. So again, the Rambam would say, but not having mortality of soul is much worse than getting burnt. And finally, the Bali Musa have this idea that is the third interpretation of Gehenim, Busha. You know, people sometimes, the worst, a person with consciousness, no one wants to get embarrassed. Right? And like that's why the worst, not allowed to embarrass another human being. A malbin pnei chavero, ein lo chelek liolam haba. So I can darshan, it's like mida keneged mida. He will be embarrassed. The ultimate shame and embarrassment.
Because he's destroyed.
Right. So Kohen Ram is different. But I'm telling Rabbi Yozer, you know, the non-Maimonidean Balei HaMusar have this idea, again, the tripartite idea of what hell is, what Gehenna is. You have Heyoder, you have Tsar, and you have Busha. Okay. Okay, so let's just read. We'll set up for next time. I want to start Yisod HaShneimasar. We have a lot to do next time. Yisod HaShneimasar, Yimos HaMashiach, Hu Lahamin La'ameis Sheyavo, Ve'ein Lomar Shenisacher, Im Ismameya Chakelo. That's from the Pasuk. Ve'ein Likvo Lozman. Ram right away says, you know, he has to fight the false messianists. You know, who are saying, oh, there's going to be someone in Yemen coming, you know, this year, and then he doesn't come and get destroyed. V'lola farish es hamikros ke'el hotzimehen zman bo'ol. You don't search Tanakh to figure out it's going to come in, you know, 2010, 2011, 2012. Amru chachamim, tipuach kitzin. So here's something very interesting. The Ram, in his list of Ikarim, is now giving is going on a tangent, telling you, is he going to be a Mashiach? Well, don't you dare start trying to figure it out. Ulahamin bo min agdula va'avo l'spala l'vo b'sei l'mash nemar alidei kol novi mimosh an malachi. Now, this is a yesod that we believe that there will be, and those Jewish history has, it's linear, as a beginning, as up, as a down, and then we have what restorative messianism. Mishan is topic bo o zilzel beinyano haris de makpish as a Torah. In other words, in Parshas Bilam, sheftiach bo perush the Parshas Bilam, right? Derach kochav miYakov, etc., etc. We'll look at more next time. The pesukim which talk about Mashiach, and also in Vatem Litzavim. Now, who is the Mashiach going to be from? Umechlal ha-yesod hazeh. Remember, Mashiach is She'ein melech li-Yisrael, meaning a bona fide king, Elami David, umi zera Shlomo dafka. This is interesting. So we would say Mashiach ben David. What does Ram point out? Also ben Shlomo. Kol ha-cholik b'inan ha-mishpacha hazu hariz dekofa b'ashem. So I just want to tell you what Rav Yosef Kapach says. He himself says this Shlomo is anti-Christian. Why? Because in the New Testament, Joseph is from Nasan, which is one of the other sons of David HaMelech. Right? So this again is a brilliant point. So by stressing that Mashiach is a descendant of the legitimate kings of Israel, including Shlomo, once again, we have another knockout blow against Christianity. Okay, so we'll stop here. And Mr. Shem, on Monday, we'll look at various aspects of the 12th Ikar.
Okay,
here.
Which I better do one thing.
Of course, somebody can ask the question. Obviously, if